God. Why don't you open your Bibles with us today? 13th chapter, Gospel according to John. I'm going to read just a few verses this morning. What do you preach? Everybody has had their heart pulled on with the school shootings in Florida. 18 school shootings this year alone is what the news has reported. I couldn't keep up with all of them. We mention it almost every Sunday as I watch the news on Sunday morning and I hear in Louisville and different places, Lexington even, lives being taken. This person shot, double shooting last night. I seen that on the Louisville news this morning. It's every week. It's not every so often. It's every week throughout the week. So whether it's a school shooting or in the big cities or even in the small communities, what we see in society is a culture of where life is meaningless to some. Not all, just some. But when you hurt for a group like in Florida or whether it be here in Marshall County or, whether it's 17 or 1, that you hurt because you think, what can I do? What can be done? And I don't have the answers to those things. Listen, there's some smart people in our world. There's some smart people in leadership. I know we don't agree with a lot of things they do, but folks, there's smart people out there. God has put people in places and they can be used. And they got ideals, and you hear them on TV and half of them you disagree with, this group don't like. Listen, I don't know the answers, how government should be involved. I don't know that. I don't know to what extent needs to be done. I don't even claim to have enough knowledge to even start thinking about it. But I do know that the Bible teaches us the answer. And no matter what it is that we're facing, whether it's the shootings in school, whether it's the sin problem we have in society, or whether it's this or whether it's that, God is always the answer. Every time, God is always the answer. When I was reading this week and I was thinking about the happenings, and this had been on my mind a little bit already, and this verse talks about a new commandment. It's a new commandment I give unto you. Let me read this to you. In 13th chapter of the Gospel according to John, go down with me to verse 33. Maybe you want to stand with me this morning, stretch your legs a little bit. It says in chapter 13, verse 33, the Gospel according to John, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Would you bow your heads with us? We look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Brother Kevin Annell, you could lead us in prayer. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kevin. You may be seated. It says, "A new commandment I give unto you." What is the answer to the problems in society? The answer is in this new commandment. And it's simple as it says that ye love one another. But if you think about this for a minute, this isn't the first time that the Bible teaches or gives a commandment to love. All the way back in the Old Testament, if you want to go back and read, you can find, I think, starting in the book of Genesis, where it says, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." So to love others is nothing new in the Bible. This is not anything that's groundbreaking. This is something that they had been practicing from the beginning of time. So, well, I don't know if they was told in the Garden of Eden, they were, even being their brother's keeper, insinuates to us love for our brother. But here Christ says, I give unto you a new commandment. So what's so new about love if it's always been, if it's been told since the book of Genesis from the beginning of 6,000 years, if it's been taught then, what's new that Christ was telling to the disciples? There's got to be something more to this, and that prompted me to start studying in there. Let me tell you, anytime Christ gave a commandment, we ought to study it. Anything that's recorded about Jesus Christ, we ought to study it. Anything in the Word of God, we ought to study. But especially when we're going to talk about the Son of God. And when He says, a new commandment I've given to you, that ought to be looked at. So what is this new commandment? It's a new commandment to love. Love who? Love thy neighbor? That's what was already taught. So this is different than that. This isn't loving thy neighbor as thyself. Let me tell you the problem with loving thy neighbor as thyself. By loving thy neighbor as thyself, they were choosing who their neighbor was. Matter of fact, Christ even had to give them a parable, an example, and said, listen, who's your neighbor? Is it the Samaritan, the good Samaritan, or is it the person that lives next to you? And they wanted to confuse up who their neighbor was, so they took an old commandment of God that said, love thy neighbor as thyself, and they said, oh, I'll make this easy. I'll love Brother Neil because he's wearing a red shirt, and I'm not going to like Brother Adam because he's wearing a navy shirt. Just happened they wore sweaters today. Thanks, guys. See, they were choosing who was their neighbor and who they would show love to. How easy and nice is that? So if I didn't do something of love for somebody and I was questioned about it, maybe by those religious leaders down at the house of God, how dare the church ever bring into question of my life and how I'm living out here in the world, you see? But I could easily say, well, they're not my neighbor. But I did a good thing for the red sweater wearing fella because he's my neighbor. So Jesus says, listen, you're not listening. If you don't mind, I'm going to preach it this way. This way. I've given you a parable. My, the Father gave you a commandment and you're just simply not listening. I expect maybe if He were to come in physical form this morning, His message might be very similar to that. You're not listening to me. And He said, I'll give you a new commandment. Not one that you can twist up and choose out who you want to show love to, but I want to give you a new commandment. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Don't pick your neighbor. Don't choose it. He said, you simply love one another. Now, Jesus is talking to the disciple. He's talking to His children, to the brothers there, that those that were brethren in Christ. He said, love one another. And it doesn't matter if you're in Florida, in Kentucky, Tennessee, California, around the globe, or anywhere it's in between, my friend. If you're a believer in Christ Jesus, then Jesus Christ Himself said, let me give you a commandment to love each other. Love. What do you preach to a man that pulls a gun out and takes the lives of 17 and shoots many more than 50 shots? You preach love. What do you teach and preach to one that takes the lives of 2 in March? You preach love. What do you preach to a church that's living hypocritical and falling away from God? You preach love. What do you preach to your own family, to your children, to your husband? Love. What do you teach the world? It's love. And it's all about love. See, but we've twisted this thing in such a manner that we've tried to take the Word of God and fit it to our lives instead of taking our life and fitting it to the Word of God. And Jesus Christ will not have us living to our standards, but we're to live to His standards. He said, I give you a new commandment because you failed at this one in my word, because you didn't uphold the ordinances of God, because you couldn't do what the Father, I showed you a better way. I've lived before you for some 33 years and I've showed you an example of brotherly love. Where did the Son of God lay His head down at night? It's in the Bible. Why, He had nowheres. Not even a home, not even a place to call home. We are so worried about this home and this structure. And even the very Son of God didn't have a dwelling place to call home to lay His head there. And yet He gave all that He had
for those that was around him. What did he give? He gave his life. He sacrificed. There, you're talking about Calvary, brother? No, I'm talking about the 33 and a half years of breathing and living incarnate in a carnal fleshly body when he presented himself a sacrifice and gave all that he had for everyone that would follow along. Meaning he didn't even care about having a home, a house to lay down into at night. He wasn't concerned with the worldly thing. He was a carpenter, I know that much. I don't know how much money he made, but I don't expect that. I can understand through the Bible that he ever stored house it up for a rainy day or a cold winter. I tell you, what he was worried about was lives learning how to love him. He said, I'll give you a new commandment that you love one another. And he goes on and says, like I've loved you. Not that you can, listen, you can't figure this thing out. You couldn't do what the Father asked of you. You couldn't determine who your neighbor was because you tried to fit it to your own self. He said, so I've given you an example for 33 years how to love each other. Now you go and do the same. Now, let me think about it for a minute. What does a commandment mean? A commandment means this, that when I want to, maybe every once in a while I'll decide, I think I just might do this. I'll just try that out one day and it sounds good. It's not a commandment, is it? A commandment's a directive that this is what shall be done. This is what is required of you. And if you don't do what a commandment is, then the master, my friend, will have a chastisement. There'll be a price to be paid. He said, this is a new commandment that I've given to you, that you love. Well, all right, so I do love, Brother Doug. I've got that. I love. Well, Paul kind of helped us with this. Paul's pretty fantastic, good writer in the Word of God, isn't he? He told us a little bit about what love was and what love was not. He said, love is these things. Love is not these things. He said, it envieth not. It doesn't covet. It doesn't want what my brother has. You're not envious because your brother got something that you don't have. Like that fancy house that the father wasn't even interested in worrying about where he laid his head down. He didn't have. But we get so worried about ours that if our brother builds a new one, we decide we need a new house or a new siding on it that's a bit better color. Or we get into being like the Joneses. No, I'm just keeping up my house, Brother Doug. That's all I'm doing, really. It's amazing that we all seem to keep up our houses at the same time. Folks, this is stuff that happens. New car, pretty contagious in the community. There's a commercial. I don't even know what car it is, but there's a commercial out, and they're selling this idea. It works, I guess. I remember it. But somebody buys a car and the kids out there in the driveway and said, I guess they liked your car, Mom. And everybody got the same car. That's not that far from reality. Why? Well, is it because it reminds? I don't know. Maybe it just reminds us that it's time to buy a new car. Maybe we need a new car. Sure. Or are we envious? Because they got something and it looks shinier than mine, so I'll go get a shinier one. And we get into this competition and competing. That's not love. That's what Paul said. That's not love. He said, love is not puffed up. I love that verse. I use that a lot, don't I? It gives me a chance to look like a big old blowfish. And I like doing that. That's not love. It doesn't get mad. It doesn't get to the place that it puffs up because you said something they didn't like. Listen, we live in a time where we speak our peace. I mean, we actually brag about speaking our peace. We talk about the boldness that we have. Somebody does something you don't like. Well, you just stand your ground, my friend. Love's not puffed up. You can stand there like a big blowfish if you want to, but it's not loving. Swell up, show how big you are. That's why a pufferfish does that. They want to look bigger than a threat that's before them. I'm trying to look smaller, by the way. It's not love. There's a time and a place to talk about things. There's a time to work things out. There's a time that we can. There's a time for everything, the Bible says. But listen, being puffed up is not love. Do we really love our brother? Jesus said, where did Jesus get puffed up in the Bible? Never did. You get angry? Yes. Did not sin. Cast them out of the house. You want to come to the house of God and you see something that's sinful in the house of God, and if you don't like that, you pray to, and ask God for help. And if you want to be bold in the Word of God and standing firm in it, listen, my friend, that's loving. And Paul said as much. But if you just want to go out here running around to see how big you can look and the world might think you're something special because you've got a bold tongue about it, that's not loving. Matter of fact, it's hurtful and it tears people down. And it puts people in places of depression and stress. And they think about it. Your words, my friend, we talked about, was it Sunday school? Had the unruly member of the body, the tongue, wasn't that last week or two? Listen, these old words that come out of the mouth, they hurt and they last with people. And when you're not together any longer and you're strutting down the street like a little rooster does, that person's at home dwelling on it and crying and hurting because of the words that come out of your mouth. Yeah, the Bible said it was an unruly member of the body to be bridled like a horse's mouth. Tamed. That's not love. Anybody can hurt, say hard words and hurtful things. Anybody can do hurtful things. It's not love. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. You love your brethren. Not just any way. No. You can't choose what love is either. Just like you can't choose who your neighbor is. He said, like I have loved you. And he loved us by giving us everything that a man can give. Listen, he would give you his before he would have his own. That's what love is. Even goes further and that says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for another. Well, we like to relate that to our police officers and firefighters and first aid responders, and that's well said. Let me tell you what the works that these individuals are doing is absolutely amazing, include the military in that. But that verse is far greater than just to our first aid responders, military, and such people. That verse applies to my life and to your life. And when we give all that we have for another, that's the greatest love. That's an example of the love of Jesus Christ that he shared with us. See, where that starts at is a relationship between you and God. Because God has showed you an example of the love that you should share with others. And that love that you have with God ought to be reflected and shown to your family. If you can't love your family by sacrificing and giving all that you have, you certainly cannot love your church, my friend. But when you learn God's love and you learn how to love your own family, your husband, wife, and children, mom and dad, and then, my friend, you'll learn how to love the church as an example that Christ gave unto us, likened unto the Son of God. So he said, I'll give you a new commandment. Not like the one of old where you choose who your neighbor is, but one where I direct you and command you to love your brother. But not just any old way of love. You love him like I've loved you. Let me tell you another part of this verse that's very important. I didn't read it, but if you go back up there to verse 31, it says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. See, here's what happened. They were partaking of the Last Supper. Here we have Judas, who was about to betray the very Son of God. And Judas, after he sobbed, he went out. And when he left the inner group of the apostles with the Son of God, now it's just Jesus Christ and his children. There's no betrayer any longer. Then he spoke to him a new commandment. See, God wants you to be a part of his family. This wasn't for the world. For the world don't understand this kind of love. Do we know why a young man would walk in a gun and open fire? Sure we do. It's sin, my friend. There's no other thing but sin that would create a man to take the life of someone else under any circumstance. The act of death is a result of sin. Now, how and what kind of sin? That's between them and God. I don't know. And we live in a time where sin is running rampant in our society. It's got our society scared. Our children scared to go to school. Our parents scared to go to work. Our parents scared that the children are going to school. Afraid. Listen to me. Kaylin come home and said, "Dad, I think me and Hunter, our boyfriend, Hunter, we're going to go to Louisville." I'm like, "No, Katie, you can't. That's not safe." Are you kidding? It's not safe, honey. You go up there, there's shootings at the mall. There's people on the bridges and teenage gangs and these, and you can't do that. We live in a society and we're scared. We're fearful of the sinful acts of man that's running rampant around us. And we don't even like to talk about it. Right? We don't have no... I mean, we got every one of our young men in here and said, "Are you scared to school at all? Stand up." Nope. Right? They're tough. I've seen them, good kids. I remember a time when I lived as a young man over in a place called Stoner Creek. And I don't know, I've kind of forgotten about it, but I thought about this week when there was a neighbor who made a comment. They were talking to me and Mom and Dad one day, and they said, "Well, we're glad their daughter went to school in the same place that I was going to school, because they knew that I'd stand up. Stand up for her if it was needed." This ain't nothing on me. This was common. Even in my age, this was common, that if a lady was in danger, that the men would stand up. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen the young men in our church, they do the same thing. Good on you. But we live in a time that the fear is so much that we're scared to go out to school or to Louisville or anywhere for that matter. Does it affect you at home? Do you lock your doors at night? I do. And you should. But I can remember a time we didn't even think about it. You know how many keys we had to our house? As far as I know, one of those only Dad's key rings, the only one I ever knew of. And when they was gone, it was unlocked. You're just going in. See, because we live in a time of fear. Because the love that Jesus Christ said, "I give you a new commandment," you don't see it in the world so much. Now you see it here. Thank the good Lord that we still see it in the house of worship. And here's what happens is we get scared and we get fearful in life. And we're separated from that love. And then we go down to the house of God. Bear with me. This won't be much longer. I'm losing some of you. We go down to the house of worship. And here's what happens. We start asking questions. Is this right? Is this wrong? Can I do this or not? Tell me, Brother Doug, was this sin or no? Maybe Brother Willard, can you tell me, was this the wrong thing to do? Because we start trying to justify our acts. I'm going to tell you something. God called me to preach His Word, not to be a judge. I can't judge for you whether it's right or wrong. I got to take care of my own heart and my own life. And the Spirit of God talks with me and tells me when I mess up and praises me when I do something that He approves of. And that same Spirit will talk to you, my friend. But if you come to church waiting for the preacher to stand before you to tell you, "Hey, that was okay and this was not," then you're missing the boat, my friend. That's the wrong read. You come with love and let God work out in your heart your salvation. Let every man in work out his own salvation. with fear and trembling, the Bible says. He'll show you through the spirit of conviction what's right and wrong. But don't let another man become your judge. That's not my job, or Brother Willard or Barry or any other called man of God. That's for God to do. He said, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. Right? Remember that? But God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There remaineth no more condemnation, the Bible says. Listen, if you're here to be condemned, that's not what the Son of God came for. He came to give you hope and grace and mercy. And He said, let us live not with the spirit of fear, but with the spirit of liberty, my friend. Liberty is when the alignment of my will is aligned with the will of God, and my choices are in line with what God's will for my life is. That's when I have liberty. And let us live in the spirit of liberty, not in the spirit of fear. Let us stand before a wicked world and say, I've got something better than what the world has to offer me. And I'll tell you, you'll know that I have it by the love that I share with my church family. See, that's really what Jesus was saying. He's saying this new commandment, not a choice. I command you to love one another like I've loved you. See, this is what this sermon's really all about. Guess what's going to happen tomorrow on Monday? You're going to go right back out into the world. And you're going to feel the same pressures and stresses and the same things that you felt last week. Praise God, He's going to be there to help you, but that's going to be real. And you're going to have the same concerns and fears. But today, it's the day of the Sabbath day, the day of worship. This is the day God told us to be mindful of and gather together, not to forsake the assemblings of ourselves. This is where we gather together in love, one mind and one accord. Listen, we ought to be lifted up this morning by the spirit of love in our God, by hugging of each other. But if we're not careful, we let church turn into a finger-pointing blame game. And that's not love, and that's not lifting up, and that's not edification, but it's tearing down, my friend. And that's the problem in many churches today. And sure, that's why the world will not come in. You think on that for a minute. Why would the world come to a place that's not any better than what they've got out there? But they're seeking the love that God commanded us to show. And in the house of worship among God's people, we ought to be able to love more than anywhere else in this whole world. Hug necks, hold each other up, and listen, give God the glory for it. For isn't that really what He said? He said, Judas is gone. My words, Judas is gone. It's just us. It's family now. And He said, this is going to be the glory of God. My life, Jesus Christ said, is going to be the glory of God. It's going to be to glorify the Father, not me. My life, He said, and just like Him, I ought to say the same words. My life is not to glorify Doug Baldwin, but to glorify the Father, you see. And your life is to glorify God the Father, not your own self. And we ought to love each other. And pick up and edify one another. When we gather together in the house of worship, see, I believe this, when the world, when the lost soul sees that love, it'll draw them. Oh, I get there's folks that's come to Fairview that's not made a profession of faith. I know, I understand that. I've talked to some of you. There's young people that's been under conviction, needs to make a profession of faith. I know that. And listen, I preach everything I know how to preach. I don't know, maybe this is the week. Maybe next week it'll be time. Brother Willard's got stiff leg and preached. Brother Barry laid out the word of God. I mean, men of God has come through this pulpit and preached to you. You the ones that made the choice not to come. But I tell you, it won't take another man of God. It won't take another person or speaker. It's going to take love if you're going to find salvation. And when you see a love greater than the miseries and the fears of this world, that love will draw you in. That young person will be drawn to love. Listen, our young people are out of time. They're looking for something to be attached to. Let's let them see love that's greater than the worries of this world. How do I do it, Brother Doug? I do it by starting with my own heart. making sure that I'm living in a relationship with the Son of God, that I'm fulfilling a commandment that He gave to me to love one another. And all men will know this when they see my love for the brethren. Will they be my judge? No, they'll not judge me. And I'll not need their okay. But they'll know it by the love that I share with my brethren. You need that love this morning. That love is bigger than all your problems. I don't know what you're facing. Sickness, money, marital, fear, stress. No, I don't know. Whatever it is. My God's bigger than that. His love is greater than that. Your trial is smaller than the love of my God. He has commanded us to love each other as He showed us that same love. I invite you today. Won't you come? Why don't you come and get to know this man named Jesus Christ? This man who loved you so much that He died for you. Sure, He gave His life on Calvary, but He gave every moment of every day that He lived to teach and for you. And He sits at the right hand of the Father right now. That you've got a hope. That you've got a better way. Come get us a song melody if you would. We're going to open this. Oh, don't.